Loving God, we are so grateful to be in your presence, to just to relax for a moment, to take a deep breath and recognize that you are present with us, that you speak to us. So as we come to your word, we pray that you inspire us, that God, you would help us to discern instruction from your word to apply to our lives. Thank you for the encouragement, the strength you give us by your Holy Spirit to deal with the challenges that we face. And Lord, we pray that you will help us to be an encouragement to the people in our lives. We thank you for this privilege of worshiping you together. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm happy to report that the services for Tammy's dad, one was at the cemetery on Friday morning, and the other at Cherry Hills Golf Course Clubhouse on Saturday afternoon. Both went very well. God was present with us, and we honored Tammy's dad and thank God for his life. So thank you for your prayers for that. And I saw Tammy earlier in the week, and she had gotten cards from some of you, and that was really touching to her. So thank you for that. The last time that I taught this message was on July 5th, 2020. Most of you will not remember because I taught from my garage. During COVID, when we were not able to meet here, I'd put the message together. I'd go up to my garage, shut the garage door, put this MP3 player, I have a podium in my garage that's right against the wall. So the wall's right here. And I would say the message to the wall. And then I'd put it on the website for the one or two that would click on the sermon. So anyway, my hunch is that you have not heard me preach this message for a long time. But anyway... The other thing that happened during COVID was after I would get done with that message, I would go down, I'd sit on the back patio and telephone most of you, right? Those of you who expected a telephone call got a telephone call. So that was life during COVID. And I am giving you the same message today that I did on July 5th, 2020. So this is how it went. Good morning, church. Today we are concluding our study of the Sermon on the Mount, a series I've referred to as the Christian Counterculture, because in it we have been exposed to Jesus' teaching of his disciples, which by implication is us who call ourselves Christians. And it is, as we have seen in so many ways, counter to the culture that we live in. The beauty of learning God's way of life is that it is to him that we will give an account. He is the judge with ultimate authority. By obeying him, we are building indestructible lives against which the fiercest of storms cannot overcome. We have been shown Christian character in the Beatitudes. Blessed are the merciful, the peacemakers, the persecuted, etc. Christian influence like salt and light with its healing and illuminating qualities, slowing the decay of humanity and exposing the truth of God's way of life. Christian righteousness, as Jesus corrects the misinterpretations of the religious leaders of his own, with his own statements of absolute truth. Christian religious practices of fasting and giving without the drama of acting, quote unquote, acting religious like the hypocrites do. Christian praying, as we learn from the simple outline of the Our Father or the Lord's Prayer. Christian ambition, where we are to store our treasures, reminding us that true treasures are relational and will not be destroyed by the elements or the rodents, and helping us to have a clear vision and values in this life. Christian relationships with each other and with God and with those who vehemently reject God. Christian commitment, recognizing that Jesus is indeed him who will be seated at the right hand of God and who will judge us at the end of the ages. Jesus is Lord and Jesus is God. So today we're looking at Matthew's comment following Jesus' teaching and hopefully the implications of his comments on Jesus' authority will sink in. Here's what Matthew wrote. When he had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. Let's consider first Jesus' authority as the teacher. The crowds were amazed at his teaching because he spoke absolute truth. The teachers of the law Matthew spoke of were indeed teachers, but theirs was teachers where they were teaching under someone else's authority. Whoever they were quoting or whoever they were a disciple of, man, come on. They were quoting whoever they were a disciple of, but Jesus spoke absolute truth and universal truth because he knew the truth. The prophets of the Old Testament would say, "Thus saith the Lord." Jesus' statements were, "Truly I say to you," or "But I say to you," when he corrected the Pharisees and scribes' misuse of God's commandments by their manipulation of traditions. He amazed the crowds as a teacher because he spoke with authority. Again, Jesus' authority was not borrowed from some other teacher. Rather, it was his own authority. It will be to him that all will give an account. He is truly the Lord and judge. And he spoke for himself. Every other teacher would represent another authority, Moses or some other prophet, but Jesus spoke and taught with his own authority. And the crowds knew it. They were perplexed by it, as Matthew writes, amazed at his teaching. Secondly, let's consider the implied authority of Jesus. Yep, we're following right along. He is the Christ of God. That is the coming Messiah of the Old Testament. The scriptures foretold Jesus as the Christ. And Christ is the same word as Messiah. One's Greek, one's Hebrew. Jesus knew that he had come on a mission. He knew that he was the fulfillment of the prophecies about the Messiah. Everything written about the coming Messiah is fulfilled in Jesus. And Jesus taught with that knowledge. He doesn't quote other prophets. He is the Christ and has the implied authority of the Christ. He is the Lord. While it can be argued that the Greek word for Lord has a broad range of meanings, from sir to maximum authority, or the equivalent of God, Jesus' maximum authority is implied when he said to those who listened to his messages, "You call me Lord, Lord, but do not do the will of my Father." They were not wrong to call him Lord, but they were wrong in their understanding of his absolute lordship. That he will be the one to say, "Away from me, I never knew you." It will be him who stands up for his own at the end of time. And we who are his will be recognized by him because of our obedience to his lordship. He is the Savior. Jesus declared with authority who was blessed and who was not. He not only taught salvation, he bestowed it. He called his followers salt of the earth and light of the world. Matthew would go on in the subsequent chapters of his gospel to record Jesus healing the sick and forgiving sinners. He indeed is the Savior. And finally, let's consider Jesus' authority practiced. First, his authority as the judge. Jesus' teaching is with the somber background of the coming day of judgment. He knew it was a reality, and he wanted his followers, his disciples, to be aware of it as well. Jesus taught about the two ways and their corresponding destinations, the broad way that led to destruction, and the narrow way, that is his way, that led to life. At the end of this life on earth, Jesus will be the judge who declares who he knows and who he does not know. Away from me, you evildoers. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus exercised his absolute authority as the judge who will come at the end of the ages, and this impressed his listeners. He also practiced his authority as the Son of God. We find in the Sermon on the Mount a comprehensive doctrine of God as the Creator. He sends the sunshine and the rain. He feeds the birds and clothes the fields with beautiful flowers and provides the necessities of human beings. He is also the King, as Stott articulates. Have to have a Stott quote in here. Stott articulates, whose righteous and saving rule has erupted into human lives through Jesus. Most importantly, through Jesus, he is our Father. And this is Stott, I quote, addressing his disciples, Jesus constantly referred to him as your Father in heaven, whose children they were, whose mercy they must copy, whose loving providence they must trust, and to whom they must come confidingly in prayer, knowing that he will never give them anything but good gifts. In all these sayings, Jesus called God your Father. Then once he referred to the will of my Father. Never, however, did he include himself with his disciples and speak of God as our Father. Of course, he taught them to pray our Father, but he was not associating himself with them. Indeed, he could not, for although he gave his followers the privilege of addressing God by the same intimate title which he himself used, Abba, Father, yet still he was deeply conscious that God and his Father, in a sense, altogether, God was his Father, in a sense, altogether different, indeed unique. This he was later to express in a saying which Matthew also records, all things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. That's Matthew 11:27. This exclusive sonship Jesus did not explicitly claim or state in the Sermon on the Mount, but it is already implicit in his precise use of the personal possessives, my Father, our Father, and your Father. End of Stott's quote. Finally, Jesus practiced his authority as God. This is so important. In the last beatitude, Jesus said the prophets were persecuted for their belief in God. In the same way will his disciples be persecuted for their belief in him. Again, he said, you call me Lord, Lord, but do not do the will of my Father, equating himself with God. Everybody knows that God was the judge, or everybody knew that God was the judge. And so did Jesus. He knew that on the last day, people would appeal to him, claiming that they had done what they thought was pleasing to him, but that he would have the final word, making himself equal with God. So here's what I'm thinking about in our times. I remain completely apolitical as I stand in this pulpit and as I stood in the garage facing the wall. That was not in here. Christians who have been instructed by the words of Jesus in this Sermon on the Mount are the solution to the problems of our times. This is a huge responsibility. I don't want to fail our Lord and Savior. So here's what I think we should consider as we close the series on the Sermon on the Mount, the Christian counterculture that Jesus taught. Here's the so what. First, Jesus taught truth. His teachings are absolutely reliable, trustworthy, Our faith, which is the same word as trust, is in Him. God says from heaven, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to Him." Listen means obey. We live with this confidence that Jesus' word is the truth and He has the final word. He is Lord. This truth is constantly being interpreted. Okay? We are responsible to be, I want to say, generous with the truth and not become fixated on our own opinions of the truth. The whole concept of us versus them for Christians, I want to redefine that for you. Us is children of God. Them, if it's versus, is Satan. And the people that Satan has confused about God's love. So we are not against people who are against God. We may not listen to people who are against God, as Jesus taught us not to follow false teachers, but we are here on a mission to love the people in our lives, to share the truth of God's love. When our children come to us and confess something going on in their lives, it's our heart to say, "Honey, it's okay. We'll get through this." It's for us as a parent to love our children through life's challenges and crises. And this is the truth that we have. Jesus taught the truth. His teachings are absolutely reliable. So we are very important to the solution of the shenanigans, Dave, that you talked about. We are part of the solution. Secondly, Jesus demands obedience. He demands it because He is the ultimate authority. This is how disciples will show that we love Him. And He knows us because we do His will. I remind you of the simple practice to breathe a prayer. Whenever you need, wherever you go, whomever you are meeting, breathe a prayer for His guidance. His words of truth that are intended to serve, to lift up, to add life, to nurture, support, heal, instruct, and or guide. Let Him be the glue in our relationships. Give Him the respect of our obedience and serve others as He would demand. Yesterday at Cherry Hills Golf Course Country Club was no different for me. As the group gathered and the expectations were, I think, pretty high. I breathe a prayer. God, help me to speak Your love, to honor the man that we are honored, and to thank You, you know, with a heartfelt thanks for his life. I breathe a prayer like that all the time. When things go awry, I need to breathe a prayer. You know, when I get caught up in the shenanigans, I need to breathe a prayer. When I start to behave like the shenanigan doers, I need to breathe a prayer. Right? Yeah. Finally, Jesus will judge us. It is He who we will see at our death or when He returns, whichever comes first. Our lives belong to Him. I think when Jesus sat down to teach those who came onto the mountain or the plateau or wherever they were that He taught, He intended for them to see who he really was. That if you're going to be a follower of mine, you need to know that I am the one who will judge you in the end. It is important that we get to know him. I think it's so crucial that we frequently go over this Sermon on the Mount. Not that all of his teaching isn't fantastic. It is. And we need to continually study the scriptures. But I think there's something very, very special about these three chapters. And there's a corresponding set of verses in the Gospel of Luke that are referred to as this kind of Sermon on the Plateau, if you will. This teaching of Jesus, I don't think the people left feeling all that, you know, hoop-de-doo. I think they felt very humbled to think, wow, you know, this man is teaching with authority. They were astonished. He was not like the other teachers. He was not like those who found their authority in someone else. You could say he was not like Pastor Mike, who gets his authority from John Stott. No, Jesus is different. Jesus is the one who will greet us and judge us. I want him to know us. I want him to know me, of course, but I want him to know us. I want him to know that Oak Springs Community Church, that little group of people that met in that beautiful clubhouse, that we continued to trust him, that we love the people in our lives, that we made ourselves available to be a blessing wherever and whenever, that we were the people that breathed a prayer at the right time, sometimes not soon enough, Pastor. So that's what I want us to mull over as we think about the Sermon on the Mount. He will see us at our death. He sees us now. He will see us when he returns. Our lives belong to him. So I'll finish the sermon as I did the one on July 5th. I implore you to recommit yourself anew to the Lord Jesus Christ and to trust him with your life. Reread the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5 through 7. Marvel with the crowd at his absolute authority as the Christ of God. Do everything you can to obey his commands, to trust in his promises, and to faithfully live into his love as our Lord and Savior. Church, you are so beautiful. You are the beloved brothers and sisters in Christ that God has claimed for himself for eternity. And I must say, who I love and thank God to be in fellowship with you. And today, I want to remind you that trusting in, obeying, living with complete respect for his authority is what we do and who we are. We are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. When we are truly his disciples, so let your light shine. Let him guide you to love the people in your life with an obedience to Jesus that serves their needs. I just found another great resource, the African Bible Commentary. One book. I'm going to order this, Lisa. We're going to have another big book in the house. I'll find a space for it. But it's the African Bible Commentary. It's the whole Bible, but it's written by African scholars. And there's a section on leadership. Oh, I can't pull it up because my phone is over there. But it talks about the leadership that's taught in the scriptures. And it's servanthood. And each point is a description of Jesus' servant leadership. And so the way we measure, the way we say, Lord, am I doing your will? Do you recognize me as yours? You can be sure that if you're giving of yourself to meet the needs of the people in your life, you're on the right track. You are leading like Jesus would have you lead. And that's what we want to be all about. Servant leaders. We're not hungry for power. Jesus has all the power that we need, right? He's the ultimate authority. We don't need power. We don't need anything but his presence, his approval, his equipping us to do his will. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the Sermon on the Mount. Thank you for the encouragement we find in your word. Thank you, too, for the warnings, the teaching that Jesus gave to those who would have to scratch their head often, I'm sure. The narrow way, the gate, the small gate, the hard way. Lord, all these teachings are difficult to grasp, and yet they're right. You are right. We want to follow you. Lord, we want to do so in a way that's kind towards others, in a way that doesn't make us versus them, in a way that doesn't divide us as children of God over disagreements. Help us to be loving and kind. Help us to be the people you created us to be. Lord, I know I just have a hunch that all of us suspect evil in the world. And we suspect that it's up to us to rid the world of evil. And Lord, I recognize from your teaching that's above our pay grade. So we better stick to what you told us to do, and that's to love each other, to love God. Help us to do that well. Lord, thank you for this church. Thank you for the blessing of this community to say, meet here in our clubhouse. You've been so good to us, and we're so grateful. Lord, as we worship you in our giving, I pray that we would always maintain a pureness and an integrity that is free from manipulation, free from anything but the purity in which the offering is meant to be. So thank you. Thank you for our time together. In Jesus' name, amen.